Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 414, the stanzas 1 and 2. O Lord, how swiftly grows the number of my foes, who wantonly oppress me, yet yea, multiplied are they, and what follows. Psalter 414, the stanzas 1 and 2. a portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Psalm 45. And afterwards from the Canons of Dort, the second head of doctrine, Article 9. Psalm 45. To the chief musician upon chosen men for the sons of Korah, Mashal, a song of loves. My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty. And in thy majesty ride prosperously, because of truth and meekness and righteousness. And thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia. Out of the ivory palaces, whereby they have made thee glad. King's daughters were among thy honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen in gold of Ophir. Hearken, O daughter, and consider, and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. And the daughter of Tyre shall be there with a gift, even the rich among the people shall entreat thy favor. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. The virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought with thee. With gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. They shall enter into the king's palace. Instead of thy fathers shall be thy children, whom thou mayest make princes in all the earth. I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the people praise thee forever and ever. The Canons of Dort, the second head of doctrine of the death of Christ and the redemption of men thereby, Article 9. This purpose proceeding from everlasting love towards the elect as from the beginning of the world to this day, being powerfully accomplished, and will henceforward still continue to be accomplished. And notwithstanding all the ineffectual opposition of the gates of hell, so that the elect in due time may be gathered together into one, and that there never may be wanting a church composed of believers, the foundation of which is laid in the blood of Christ, which may steadfastly love and faithfully serve him as their Savior, who as a bridegroom for his bride laid down his life for them upon the cross, and which may celebrate his praises here and through all eternity. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Eternal, unchangeable, almighty, omniscient, omnipresent God, the Father of all mercies, the fountain of all good, in thee we live, we move, and have our being, then it is thy good and gracious hand that has granted many a blessing in this day, and thou hast granted the opportunity that we may lay our labors aside, and that we may enter into thy house. May it please thee to grant a bowing of the heart, a deep awe and reverence for thee, that majestic God, and a continual impression of our sinnership and our unworthiness, and that thy praise may rise out of the dust. We have heard from the writings of our forefathers, based upon thy holy word, that thou hast accomplished and art accomplishing thy free and sovereign grace in gathering thy chosen church, and that through the blood of thy dear Son, and that they may have a little beginning of those praises here below, in eternity it shall be in its fullness and perfection. Then thou also knowest in this evening hour how that each and every one has come up. It is a week of preparation, wherein thou granteth it the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ shall be administered in the midst of the congregation, and then according to thy holy word, and then we are called to examine each our hearts, how matters stand between thee and us, O Lord. Then it is so necessary that thou bloweth with the north wind and also with the south wind. Oh, do remember the unconverted. May they be aroused to a holy jealousy. Work lovingly and irresistibly in the hearts of young and old. Impress upon all our hearts that one thing needful, that we are born again, and as poor sinners, that we are washed in the precious blood of thy dear Son. Lord, spare us that we build not upon sandy foundations. There can be much that is not of thee. Where thou wast given the parable of the five wise and the five foolish virgins, O Lord, we need to become a sinner, a great sinner, that is given to learn that they can never save themselves. We need to become a sinner that is washed in the precious blood of thy dear Son. And Lord, thou hast a people upon the earth that oftentimes is busy to examine themselves. Oh, what fears can arise concerning the foolish virgins. Then it is a privilege and a blessing when with the questions, with the riddles, and with their sins, that they may be as that dove that is given to cry unto thee. Oh, to ask for a token of thy favor, to ask for a confirmation, oh, not to rest outside of that precious blood which thy dear Son has shed, where he has hung on the cross and cried out, "It is finished." It is the work of thy Holy Spirit to make room in the heart of a poor sinner that thy dear Son, he has been called Jesus, because he has come to save his people from their sins, that he becomes so necessary and so suitable. Oh, that he is the fairest of the among the children of men, unto their for whom believe, then he is precious. Lord, wilt thou so remember thy Zion, also in a week of preparation? Oh, they are described in thy word, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, because thou hast a people upon the earth that has learned to weep over their sins, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Ah, thou hast a people upon the earth, also in a week of preparation, how dependent they are upon the immediate work and influence of thy Holy Spirit. Ah, wilt thou grant that hunger and thirst, and may it please thee in this evening hour, to grant those burning hearts, as it was with the travelers to Emmaus, when the scripture was opened unto them, and with the vehement desire, oh, to sit and to sup with the King, where the broken bread and the poured out wine, oh, it points to the dowry, to the price, which thy dear Son has merited, which he has paid, and then thou hast a people who desire to have their faith strengthened and their lives more holy. Lord, then we humbly ask thee on the coming Sabbath day that thou wilt be the watchman around about thy holy table, for a holy people, not in themselves, but in an other, and that many may be aroused to a holy jealousy. Ah, Lord, we have heard out of thy holy word concerning him that was fairer than the children of men, and that grace is poured out upon his lips. May that be experienced. May we be administered out of thy fullness and receive grace for grace. Ah, Lord, when thou cometh over, and then the enemy must flee. Wilt thou so bless thy word in this evening hour? Wilt thou bless the labors in the church, and thy word in the family circles, and thy word in our Christian school? A word has also been opened in this day. We commend unto thee thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth, the established churches in their low condition. Ah, wilt thou grant a richer time of revival, when young and old may be wrought upon, and thy children, that tender, that dependent, and that close life, oh, to experience that sweet communion, Lord, with thee. We commend unto thee many upon the world who are denied the free access to the means of grace, persecution, war, prison, hospitals, and other circumstances. Wilt thou remember mission work, our mission field? Remember the Jewish people. Lord, remember all the temporal needs amongst us and our children. Wilt thou continue to provide for our daily bread? May there be those times when we may be given to experience thy special providing, caring, protecting, and providing hand, and that it may be thy goodness that leadeth to repentance, because otherwise, Lord, all our blessings, they shall rise up against us in the day of judgment. We commend unto thee all the mourning ones, the elderly ones, sick and afflicted ones, sick relatives, crosses and burdens. Wilt thou remember the family circles? Lord, do dwell richly amongst us in this hour. Oh, do open thy word, open our mouth, and open our hearts. Ah, may there be thirsty souls, empty vessels, that have been emptied by thee. And in an hour of, in a week of preparation, oh, exercises concerning that empty vessel. But, ah, Lord, then by true saving faith, to be given to look upon that precious mediator who can save and who can fill to the uttermost. Wilt thou graciously take away everything that could be a hindrance, bind the devil fast, give a little rest in thy house. May the outgoing of the service be for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name. We ask it in the full and the free remission of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 124, the first four stanzas. My heart doth overflow A goodly theme is mine. My eager tongue with joyful song doth praise the King divine. And what follows, Psalter 124, the first four stanzas. Beloved congregation, we read in 1 Samuel 1 that yearly Elkanah, O Wethus' two wives, Hannah and Peninnah, have come up to the tabernacle to offer sacrifices. And for Hannah, that it was not an easy time. That does not mean that Hannah was not exercised with her barrenness at other times. What a tear she must have wept, and what a prayer she has sent up to the living God, that if it would please the Lord, that there would come a time that she would be gladdened with the birth of a child. But then it was especially, it is recorded in God's word, that when they came up to the feast, that Hannah was sorely troubled. Oh, for that Peninnah with her children, then Peninnah experienced, she realized, that Hannah had something that Peninnah did not have, and that was the love of her husband. But oh, at the feast, then Peninnah has teased, has pestered her, and pointed to her barrenness. In a week of preparation, then how oftentimes it is that there are souls that understand a Hannah does not mean that at other times they are not given to examine themselves. Oh, they examine themselves oftentimes in the light of God's word, because the Lord has a people upon the earth that a mistake in this matter, that it is an eternal mistake. And now concerning the Lord's Supper, then it concerns in a special way the priestly office of the Lord Jesus Christ, the broken bread and the poured out wine, that points to the price and the dowry which Christ has paid for his church, that they may be saved, that they may be redeemed. His name has been called Jesus because he has come to save his people from their sins. And when the Spirit works savingly, because people, there can be much. That is not the saving work of the Spirit, but it is the work of the Holy Spirit to bring sinners to a saving knowledge of his dear Son for the remission of sins, and that people, they have a desire that their faith may be strengthened and their lives most holy. To that end, the instructors of our Heidelberg Catechism, in a few sentences, have explained what is necessary and for whom the Lord's Supper is instituted. For those who were truly sorrowful for their sins, and the Lord has a people upon the earth that know what it is to be sorrowful for their sins. Oh, that separation between the Lord and between their soul, and yet trust that these are forgiven them for the sake of Christ. And to that end, Christ has declared, do this in remembrance of me, and that their remaining infirmities, do you hear it, people of God? It says, who are truly sorrowful, the Lord has a people that have to ask each time by renewal, Lord, come with thy Holy Spirit, with the north wind and with the south wind, their remaining infirmities, how the living church can be troubled with those remaining infirmities in a week of preparation are covered by his passion and death, and who also earnestly desire to have their faith more and more strengthened and their lives more holy, but hypocrites and such as turn not to God with sincere hearts eat and drink judgment to themselves. And now for the living church. Oh, they know what it is to be assaulted by those enemies, by Peninnah, also a type of the devil, and that in a week of preparation, what a questions, what a riddles there can be, concerning unanswered prayers, unfulfilled promises, mysterious providences. Oh, it can also be in a week of preparation that it seems that everything upside down in the business on the farm and in the family circle. And nevertheless, congregation, still a blessing when there may be those exercises, because the devil, all the same, our children can understand it when there are pirates upon the sea. What do they look for? For a ship that is loaded, that is low in the sea. And now the living church shall experience all those assaults, but then the blessing. And there, if we hope to speak with the Lord's help in this evening hour, the living church, riddles. Oh, are there souls with riddles which they cannot unriddle? Oh, burdened with their sins. And concerning those 3 points, and especially the second point, concerning the knowledge of that precious Savior, because it is written, do this in remembrance of me. And now the Lord has a people upon the earth where he becomes so necessary and so precious. We wish to ask your attention for our text words. Psalm 45, the verses 3, 4, and 5. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty, and in thy majesty write prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness, and thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. Our text words speak of the urgent request of an assaulted church to their majestic king, with 4 thoughts in the first place, the request for the king's arraignment. Secondly, the request for the king's warfare. Thirdly, the request for the king's vindication. And fourthly, the request for the king's victory. The urgent request of an assaulted church to their majestic king. The request for the king's arraignment, because in verse 3, gird thy sword upon thy thigh. The request for the king's warfare, and in thy majesty ride prosperously. The request for the king's vindication, because of truth and meekness and righteousness. And the request for the king's victory, thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. Congregation, a little more than a year ago, in a week of preparation, and then we have tried to say a few simple words concerning the first and the second verse. And who was able to declare the riches and the glory of him that is fairer than the children of men? Oh, then the psalmist has declared, thou art fairer than the children of men. Oh, fairer than the children of men in his person, in his work, in his love, in his willingness. In his names the list is long. And the Lord has a people upon the earth where he becomes so. By nature it is, as I read in Isaiah 53 verse 2, no form nor comeliness, no beauty that we should desire him. And we can have a contemplation of him with our mind. But the Lord has a people upon the earth, oh, that are uncovered, that they learn that they cannot save themselves. Young and old, have you learned it? Have you become exercised with your sin and with the justice of God? Because that justice must be satisfied by us or by another. And now the work of the Spirit, when the gospel may be opened, that he becomes fairer than the children of men. Oh, in that revelation, then a poor sinner is given to see that it is possible for them to be saved and to be fully delivered. And oh, grace is poured out upon his lips. Ah, that the church learns when the Lord speaks unto them out of his word, that he speaks with power and authority, and other times with a small, still small voice. And then they are given to rejoice with joy unspeakable. Oh, then there is such a fullness in him, because he is white and ruddy, and the chiefest among 10,000s. And now it is evident in our solemn, that with everything that the psalmist has experienced, everything that they have seen, oh, they have seen, as I read in Isaiah 33 verse 16, the king in his beauty, that great, that adorable, that rich king, the chiefest among 10,000s. But that the psalmist had difficulties, that the psalmist was assaulted, and the church learns, as the Jehoshaphat of old, where he has declared that he had no might against that threefold enemy, that of themselves they are weak, but they have a mighty king. Oh, how sharp that the arrows of the enemies can be. Do you not really think that the Lord has begun that good work? Do you really think that you have learned your sins deep enough, and the church shall learn it deep? But what a questions there can be. Have you become humble and unworthy? Can be that there is a pointing, it is a blessing when we have a tender conscience. That's our character, that's a blessing. But then the enemy can come and say, there's only conscious convictions. And if the Lord had now truly begun, then would there still be so many remaining infirmities? That the enemy comes and points to their prayers, their Bible reading, and concerning the knowledge of the dear Son of God, what a questions there can be concerning that question. When the gospel is opened, when he becomes precious congregation, then our exercises shall go out after him. And then we need him as our Savior. Oh, it can even be that in a week of preparation, that it is so still, so quiet in that respect, then it's more profitable to be assaulted by the enemy. And with the prayer of our text, when it is so quiet, still a sign that there is life. But now it is clear with the psalmist that he needed deliverance. And to that end, the prayer, gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty. Are there still a few sires in my midst with an O? Can be times the church has not come so much further, but it is a true O. There's one out of the bottom of the heart. The child may be given to say, Oh Lord, thou knowest my sins, thou knowest my needs, thou knowest my vehement desire that I may live unto thee and to be pardoned fully of my sins, to receive that wedding garment, to be covered with the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's an O of need. An O of love. Because when the Lord works, sheds that love abroad in the heart. An O of faith. Oh, for those true souls, how they can examine their faith, whether it is true faith, true saving faith, or has it been imagination, souls that understand it, but an O of urgency, O for a Hannah, with that Peninnah that has teased her. Then she has went into the tabernacle and poured out her heart before the Lord. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty. Then the psalmist, thou art fairer than the children of men. The omnipotence of the King. He is that Almighty King. John, on the island of Patmos, has seen him. and Revelations 19, verse 16, and there was written on his vesture, Lord of lords and King of kings. And now what are we to understand? When the psalmist is prayed, was his desire, gird thy sword upon thy thigh. I read in Jeremiah 14, the verses 7 through 9, that the prophet Jeremiah in a time of great drought has prayed, though our iniquities testify against us. It's necessary in a week of preparation. People of God, do you have not any iniquities that testify against you? Though our iniquities testify against us, our backslidings are many, we have sinned against thee. Then the prophet is prayed, be not a stranger in the land, as a wayfaring man that tarrieth for the night, or as a man astonied, as a mighty man that cannot save. Thus the prophet in the time of great distress had an impression of the might, the all-might of the Lord. But no answer yet has brought relief. Are there a few waiting souls? And then you can tell me what you are waiting for. When a husband waits for his wife to return from a trip, we ask, who are you waiting for? Then that husband can tell. I read in Psalm 130, verse 5, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word I do hope. Thus in our text words, then we have the psalmist, sweet meditations, inditing a good matter concerning that precious Savior who has shed his precious blood that his church may be saved, but that he came in need and an assaulted psalmist. And then he was given to see that glorious King, all most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty, because the church is given to adore that great King. But there can be those times when they come in great need, troubles, riddles, a waiting church, and therefore not only to behold that King, but the psalmist is given to ask that the King may put on a sword, and our children can understand when you have a king or a general, and he is in the palace or in other place, that when he puts on a sword, that tells us something. That he is going forth to battle. And now what are we to understand by that sword? In the first place, for the conquering of those assaulters and enemies, that they may be put to silence. But in the second place, when we consider God's word, then I read in Ephesians 6, verse 17, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And in Hebrews 12, verse 4, that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Thus then it is the desire of the psalmist that the king, that he may put on the sword, that the enemies may be put to shame, but also that the king may speak. Are there a few souls that need a confirmation? That is the desire of the church. Also concerning the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, that is a sacrament given for the strengthening of their faith concerning the dear Son of God who was fairer than the children of men. I read in Psalm 119, verse 49, remember thy word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Thus in our text we have a psalmist, a tender, a close life, a dependent life. All the church tries to hold on to everything they have received and experienced, and the church does experience much, but they are so dependent upon the work of the Holy Spirit as a sword, that mighty one, the Lord Jesus Christ, the sword that the enemies may be put to silence. And there are times, oh, to say it reverently, that the Lord says to the devil, now you must give my child a little rest. An Elam, the water fountains, those palm trees, that they may be given to rejoice, that they may have a time of quietness. Oh, to be given to rejoice and to praise the King Divine. Put on thy sword upon thy thigh. Verse 3. That is based upon the priestly office of the Lord Jesus Christ. To that end, he has become king, as we read in Psalm 2. And now concerning the king, I read in Zechariah 13, verse 7, awake, O sword, against my shepherd is my own fellow. Smite the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered. Then the king, oh, what a love. What a deep love. What an unfathomable love. That becomes the wonder for the child of God. That the king, that he was willing to humble himself. Helpless little child, born in a stable, that he has placed himself under the sword of his father's justice. He has suffered and he has died. This declared in the elements, the Lord's Supper, the broken bread, and the poured out wine, and to that end become king over his church. The Father has promised him a reward. 'Tis the chosen church. We have heard it from the canons of Dort that purpose has been accomplished and is being accomplished. And because he has placed himself under the Father's sword, oh, then I read those tender and sweet words. And I will turn my hand to the little ones. Oh, for that church, for those Hannahs. Oh, so barren, I cannot deny what the Lord has done. But concerning the further exercises, the vehement desire that he may gird a sword. But the psalmist desired more, because the enemies of the church, they are so bold that that king can be proclaimed unto them in his power, in his glory, and in his majesty, and that the enemies continue on their own chosen path. How is it with us, congregation? Have you learned to bow before the king? Have you learned to tremble? He has declared in God's holy word, there are times for the true child that they cannot bow low enough, that he may be exalted high enough. But alas, alas, still a blessing when we may have respect for the word of the king. What a terrible thing it is when we become as Pharaoh. We hear the word, read the word, but we are not doers of the word. We do not fear his threatenings, and heaven does not allure us. Oh, my unconverted fellow travelers, may you be given to bow while it can yet. Oh, if that may take place, then you are spoiled for the world, because that is such a sweet bowing. But then we are taught all our sins, they rise up against us. But now the psalmist, first the request that he may gird the sword on his thigh. But the psalmist needed more, because the psalmist desired the presence of the king. And to that end, our second thought, the request for the king's warfare, that the king may arise. And to that end we read, and in thy majesty write prosperously. And when we read that word writing, then we can think of two figures. In Revelation 6 verse 2, I read of the king that he sat on a white horse with a crown upon his head, and he went forth to conquer. But in the Bible, then we also read of kings that they rode on a chariot. Thus then you can understand the meaning. Then it was the request, the earnest desire, because the church desires the presence of the king, that they may experience that sweet communion. Oh, when we read our text, and in thy majesty write prosperously, then we think of the Song of Solomon, chapter 3, the verses 9, 10, 11, because Solomon, he made a chariot of the cedars of Lebanon. And then we read of that chariot, that the pillars, they were of silver, that is the attributes of the Lord. The covering was of purple, the bottom was of gold, and the midst thereof was paved with love. And who was that chariot now for? Oh, that was for the daughters of Jerusalem. Thus when the psalmist is requiring and asking the king that he may ride prosperously forth, oh, in the midst of the church, and that is in the way of love for those daughters of Jerusalem. And then it is declared in verse 11, that those daughters of Jerusalem, that they may behold the Solomon, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords, in his love and in his wonderful works. Thus when we read and write prosperously forth, oh, for the church of God, that is in love and in compassion, but that is in protection of the church, and that is for the destruction of the enemies, and in thy majesty ride prosperously forth. When we consider our first 2 points, and it is a blessing and a privilege when the church may be exercised with those 2 points, can even be in the life of a soul that for themselves that seems so impossible. As the church learns that way through the table, there's a narrow way. But then there can be times that they are given to think of the church. What a privilege it is when there may be souls that may become exercised with other souls. Nehemiah, shall I not seek rest for thee, daughter? What a privilege and what a blessing. That's our first point. For the king to put a sword on his thigh, that is the first petition. Hallowed be thy name, becomes the desire of the church. But our second point, that concerns the second petition, that the king may ride prosperously, that the enemies may be subdued, but also that the enemies may be conquered, that he may be given to bow, that he may be converted, that they may join to that people that have learned of the wonderful things of the Lord. And in thy majesty, ride prosperously. All when the king, when he may ride prosperously upon his holy word, the midst of the congregation, when he may be in the midst, when the Holy Supper is administered prosperously, the necessity of the application of the Holy Spirit. Our third thought, the request for the king's vindication. Let us first sing. Psalter 249. The stanzas 3, 4, and 5. Though fierce and treacherous foes assail, their power and wrath shall not prevail. Their cruel strength, their venom spite, thou shalt overcome with conquering might. And what follows? 249, 3, 4, and 5. Thank you. the urgent request of an assaulted church to their majestic king. Their request for the king's arraignment, their request for the king's warfare, and now thirdly, their request for the king's vindication. There's a psalmist that desired to be instructed. We read in Isaiah 19, verse 20, we have spoken thereof in the time of Advent, for they shall cry unto the Lord because of the oppressor, and he shall send them a Savior and a great one, and he shall deliver them. And in Psalm 3, verse 1, we read, Lord, how were they increased that trouble me? And now it is the request of the psalmist that the king who was fairer than the children of men and were gracious poured out upon his lips because he speaks so gently and so comfortably and so lovingly to his people. Then the psalmist is given to mention three matters. And then in the first place, because of truth. The Lord has a people upon the earth, a waiting people. A people where the Lord has spoken, but where they still need the fulfillment. And then how the enemy can assault sometime by day and by night. And many times, oftentimes, it goes through impossible ways. We have the examples in the scripture. Only think of Abram. Oh, think of Joseph in prison. And then it is the desire of the living child that the Lord may ride prosperously upon the chariot of his word with his truth. Because he is a God that cannot lie. And that the God of truth who was promised, all the promises are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. And that it may be fulfilled, that the Lord, as a wonder-doing God, because he worketh in mysterious ways, but, ah, Lord, also in a week of prosperity, ride prosperously with thy truth. In John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the life, and the truth, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. Thus concerning that truth, concerning the knowledge of the dear Son of God as the Savior of sinners, not only for others, but also for me, but also, and in thy majesty, ride prosperously because of truth and meekness. That means gentleness. Ah, the king, how gently and how lovingly that he deals with his church. How he seeks them out. How he draws them out. If we think of the King of Jesus, when he is tabernacled on this earth, then that precious invitation, oh, what a precious invitation, and for who they are mentioned. Matthew 11, verse 28. Oh, that is by that greater Solomon, the king, and that golden chariot, for a needy, for a desiring people, For those daughters of Jerusalem, where we read, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, all were there such souls. All right, then prosperously with meekness. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And the church can be laden, still a blessing, those exercises with an urgency of an O, and I will give thee rest. And then Christ is added in verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. Oh, the meekness for a timid, for an unworthy people. Also concerning the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, oh, concerning that meekness, only think of Mary, the empty sepulcher. Why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? Also a proper question for the Lord's Supper. What are we seeking? Whom are we seeking? Do we need him who was meek and lowly of heart? And then thirdly, because of righteousness, the justice of God, all for those enemies. Then the righteousness and justice of God, that is a terrible thing. They are given to tremble, Martin Luther, oftentimes, when he read the Bible, and he read of that righteousness. He had learned what a sinner he was, and that with all his works, there was a man that could have come into heaven because of his works, would have been Martin Luther. But by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. The king teaches his people those lessons. But nevertheless, that righteousness that needs to be satisfied. Thus the righteousness for his enemies, but all when the gospel was opened. Then Martin Luther, from the first chapter of Romans, 1 verse 17, then he has learned of another righteousness. And that is the righteousness which Christ has merited for his people, imputes unto them, and which they may receive and embrace by true saving faith with a believing heart. Ah, for the psalmist, thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured out upon thy lips, O King. Write prosperously and show thy righteousness, what it has cost thee, the broken bread, broken body, the poured out wine, his poured out blood. What a fitting prayer. Also concerning the Lord's Supper, write prosperously, and then a special word. Also a word for the unconverted, of course the whole text. Oh, it is declared the king in his chariot, that there's still room in that chariot. Boys and girls, young people, still room. And the king is inviting. And it's a terrible thing. to refuse to listen to the king, to bow before Joseph, not to obey his word. Terrible thing to harden her heart. And for those that continue to harden their heart, a special word, and thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. We can never win with the king congregation. May we be given to bow. Our last thought. The request for the king's victory. In verse 5, a further step. First, the king arrayed with that sword, with his power and with his majesty. That should be enough to make all people bow. Then secondly, that the king has left the garrison, the palace, and that he has rode prosperously, horse, in his chariot. And then we would think, with such a riding forth, that all people would be given to surrender and beg the king that they may come under his banner, that they may become good soldiers, become part of the church militant. But alas, it is clear. Is that our picture, congregation? Is that our picture? The king. From our youth, we have heard of him. That is that glorious, that majestic king, that he's the almighty king. And we shall all see him when he comes upon the great white throne. And now concerning riding prosperously, oh, each sermon, then as it were, then the king goes from bench to bench, that golden chariot, declaring that that king is so meek, and that the chief of sinners, that there's no sinner too great, that the king cannot pardon, and yet, that we have no desire for the king, no need. Even worse, when we show in our life that we do not even have respect for God's word, then you can understand that the king shall become terribly angry. But now with verse 3 and 4, oh, must you yet say, that is now my picture, more is necessary. And to that end, the psalmist, an other petition, because then he has said, thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. So then we have the king with a bow and arrow. And those arrows are so sharp that there is no heart that they cannot penetrate. And then in different ways. Oh, what a blessing it is. When an arrow of divine love and conviction may be shot in the heart of boys and girls, young people and older ones, that they are wounded on the battlefield of free and sovereign grace. And people, that is an arrow that we can never get out. We can struggle. But that arrow comes in the hardest heart. And then such a sinner is convicted, drawn by love, and then they become a subject of that great king. Oh, when that happens, does not mean they know what has taken place, but they know that it has become different because they are given to see something of the glory and majesty of the Lord and given to experience what a sinner they are. No, for such a one, there is not room. It does not begin with that chariot. No room. Because they realize that that king is so majestic and so holy. That much has to change. And then they become so busy. Is that taking place, congregation? It's more than just an understanding of the truth in God's word. It is experienced deeply, an arrow in the heart, wounded, and that we receive these new desires and new longings. Then it becomes our concern. Then we need a place in that golden chariot of the greater Solomon. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. Then in the second place, for the destruction of the enemies of the king. Oh, when they refuse to bow, they shall be destroyed. Arrows, many callings, providential afflictions, then as it were the Lord is calling. But what else? Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. That is also in the way of further experience and leadings. Because our flesh, the natural man, is an enemy of free and sovereign grace. And God's people learn it. Oh, that pride. Trying to add to the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ can be so subtle. I read in Ezekiel 8, dig deeper, son of man, and thou shalt find greater abomination. Also a blessing. And a week of preparation. When an arrow may be shot. A further uncovering. That we become exercised. Because the Spirit teaches people that feeling and emotion, some conviction that is not sufficient. Justice needs to be satisfied, and that an arrow is shot in all of our works and our duties and our pride and our effort. The prayer of the publican, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee and under thy word. What the prayer, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? The request of an assaulted church is a blessing. When there may be those oaths by renewal in the life of God's people, and that they may experience all to be given to see fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured out upon thy lips, but the church needs the application. They desire his presence. and they long for that blessed communion. Oh, they may be given to behold them, but with a prayer, write prosperously, Ah, Lord, through the midst of the congregation, come with the north wind of thy spirit, the south wind upon my garden. Now we need to be a garden. It's the work of the Spirit, that the spices may flow forth. And then, oh, then the psalmist was led to the king. The verses 7 through 9. Oh, that he sits upon the throne. That he reigns. He was anointed. So necessary for the child of God. Those sweet meditations, those leadings into the mediatorial work of Jesus Christ. Oh, those garments, a sweet-smelling Savior. And then, oh, the psalmist was given to see a blessed people, that people filled with a holy jealousy. King's daughters were among thy honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen in gold of Ophir. May the king be present in that golden chariot. Oh, we read, as we have mentioned, that invitation that the daughters, those are daughters that have been born again, children of God, marks are written in the Bible. And then the precious invitation, do this in remembrance of me. Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, we have heard from the psalmist that with his need and with his desire, that he has requested great things of thee, that the psalmist was exercised with the glory of thy name and with the coming of thy kingdom and also the application for his own soul. Lord, may it have pleased thee to have used thy word, and that an arrow may have been shot, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, an arrow into the heart of a boy or girl, young one, older one. Ah, that they may leave thy house different, very different, completely different than they have come. Lord, where thou hast begun, then it is also necessary for those arrows of deeper uncovering, deeper conviction, in the way of backsliding, and in the way of lukewarmness. Lord, do spare us and our dear children from the hardness of the heart, the greatest judgment that could come upon a people. I'll give a prayer for one another, also concerning the Lord's Day, concerning the sacrament. Lord, bring us safely to our dwellings. Be the faithful keeper, Israel, in this night. May we arise in the morning with renewed strength, courage for our labors. Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing psalter, 392. Let us sing only the fifth stanza. Now will I sing a glad new song. Thy praise, O God, I will prolong. For thou wast heard my prayer, and what follows, 392, only the fifth stanza. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.